Hey, welcome into the podcast. That's Keith. And I'm Jay.
What's up, Jay?
How's it going, Keith?
Good.
I don't know much, man. Yeah. Good to see you.
I was just out washing my 2019 Corvette Stingray.
Ooh.
And they told me is the best Stingray ever made, is the 2019.
Well, you know, that debate's still out, you know, a lot of people, but we'll get into that.
You want to see it? I got it right here. You want to see it?
Yeah, bring it in. Nice.
This is called rated your kids' toy collection for a prop for later in the show.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What's the color? It's a gunmetal, or something?
Yeah, gunmetal.
Yeah, you going with gunmetal?
I guess so. Yeah, that was my first instinct. So yeah.
Okay.
We're talking Corvettes today, specifically the new 2020 C8, right? You know that the C7 comes with? I'm dressing the part, man. I got the Hawaiian shirt. The, you know, buttons open. I'm surprised you didn't comment on this before we started recording. Did it weird you out a little bit?
Well, you know, some things just don't surprise me, man. So I knew there had to be some sort of motivation behind it, but yes.
It's true. Demographically, I'm pretty sure when you buy one of these Corvettes, in the trunk, you get your Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt.
They go ahead and remove the top three or four buttons. You can't even put it together.
Yeah, it doesn't allow you to go up.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's for the cleavage, right?
Yeah, the man cleavage. That's right.
Right. That's right, man.
Wow.
Good on you, brother.
Yeah.
Looking good. Looking good there.
I needed to get into the part a little bit, right?
I couldn't find any gold chains.
I was a little disappointed. So you're just going to have to do with the chest hair and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got to tell you, the group that I encountered, there was none of that going on.
No chest hair, no Hawaiian shirts, no...
No, I didn't see any of that. Demographically, from an age standpoint, yeah, they were spot on.
Yeah.
GM knows their demographic very well.
No gold chains.
Didn't see any of that, man.
A little uncomfortable. I gotta fix it.
I did see some bling on some of the guys, like, you know, rings and nice watches and stuff like that.
But, right.
No gold chains. No, none of that happening. No, I think they, this crowd was a little older than you.
Well, the gold chains thing is older than me, too. I wouldn't...
Yeah, but that's a middle-aged thing, man, right?
That's true.
You're middle-aged now, right, aren't you?
I suppose, if we must go
there. You better
there.
Run out and go get that vet now, man.
So we're going to get to that, and I've got a whole lot of questions and comments and a conversation with my wife we'll get into.
I have a lot of questions for you, too, because I think we've both been kind of going in different directions on our own, kind of reading different things and have come to the same summation of what's happened here. But I'm excited to talk about it. I don't know everything about this thing, but I've got some high spots that really kind of stuck out to me. So we'll get there. We'll talk about it. So.
All right. So you are you gearing up for college football, or what's going on with the hat shirt combo?
Yes, this
is a hat shirt combo today. It's not just
this
the
is
hat.
A hat. This is a hat shirt combo. I'm excited for college football, just as any American should be. It is an exciting time for me. I love this time of year, and I am a South Carolina Gamecock fan. Have been since the day I was born. So we don't talk about the other orange team, we're not talking the Tennessee Volunteers. These guys are ACC and happen to be national champions. So we're not going to talk about those guys. No airtime for those guys today, please.
Okay. I'm not a big college football fan, so I don't.
Well,
Well, you said orange team, and I was like, the
you're
Bengals?
Like Broncos or something. Broncos, Bengals?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. God, it must suck
the
to
Orioles?
Be the Browns.
We're talking baseball, yeah. Maybe?
Maybe, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, so, you know, on the heels of, the, you know, you got college ball coming, you got it's like the first preseason games are right around the corner for the NFL coming up.
Yeah.
And that'll be an exciting season for one team. So, it's the way it works, guys. So
I'm hearing some strange I'm hearing a couple strange noises, and I'm not sure if they're in my headphones or they're in the room or whatever, but I just rearranged the studio, got the new backdrop, got all that going on. Things yeah. are in a little bit of a different place, so it's just like learning a new instrument, man. I got a new guitar. I'm trying to get it dialed in here.
That's looking good, man. We so for those of you look, you know, that are inspired by our visual experience that we provide you on a week-to-week basis. For those of you in audio land, Keith's got a new set.
Yep.
And we've both been kind of trying to improve on our presentation, and you know, to include audio and visual and that sort of stuff. So time for me. I'm in the process of the set change as well, but Keith's a little further ahead of me on that regard.
We've got some AI running around the room.
Really?
Hey, Cosmo, could you please take your noisy self into another room so that we can't hear you on the podcast? Cosmo? Okay.
Oh, is that Cosmo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's running around the house. Okay. So, okay. we got some news to get to. You ready to get into the news?
We are ready to get into the news. Ready? All right.
What? Did you not hear it?
News. No, I didn't hear it.
Oh.
No, I didn't hear it. We don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. Let's do something new. Can we?
Pardon me, one second.
Okay.
Cosmo, please leave the room. Hang on. This is hilarious, okay. Man.
Oh, for folks, you know.
I caught him.
Okay. So, you know, for those of you who don't know Keith like I know Keith,
there
this does not
all
surprise
right.
me that you have a little robot named Cosmo running around your studio.
Hang on.
Yeah, we've got all kind of action, so please forgive us here. We've got a set under construction. We've got one of the construction robots that has rolled into the room and is completely derailing Keith's train of thought here. He's off somewhere else, man. So anyway, so let's get to it if we can, man.
Right, yeah.
So let's talk some news, man. What do you got?
Yeah.
You got anything?
You go first.
You want me to go first? Oh. Well.
Here. I got one. So there's an ethanol plant in Northwest Iowa that has suspended production. Which is kind of a big deal. Now, you and I have talked a lot about ethanol. We did a video on ethanol. One of our previous one or two podcasts back, we interviewed a guy that wrote a book on ethanol being safe for engines and put him on the show. So there has been a push from the federal government to increase the amount of ethanol going into gasoline.
Correct.
And for those of you that don't know, ethanol is made from corn. It's a grain alcohol. It's a corn alcohol that they add. It's an additive that they add to your gas, dilute your gas, however you want to.
Similar, if not same, processes in which you get bourbon.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those processes.
Kind of a big deal then that all of a sudden they're suspending production on one of these major ethanol plants in Iowa. So this is one of the local news stations in Sheldon, Iowa. Headline: Northwest Iowa ethanol plant temporarily suspends production. This is KIWA. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're saying is that it's suspended until further notice. There's a supply-demand imbalance, and it's because the federal government is... Wow, did I just stumble on the word government? The federal government is handing out a bunch of waivers to big oil companies, so they don't have to blend as much ethanol into the gasoline.
That's correct.
So, you know, look, that's going to be a real divided topic. People are going to be... A lot of people are going to be in favor of it, and a lot of people are going to be against it. And, you know, we've always taken the stance of we're you know, I'll quote Jay here, we're pro-engine, and we're not big fans of ethanol added to gasoline in engines. But this is a big change at the pump, regardless of how you feel about ethanol.
That's right.
Basically, EPA
those 10% stickers are going to stay on the pump, whether or not there's 10% in there or not. You know
that's
that, right?
Yeah, that's right. But so you're not going to really know how much ethanol you're getting in the in the product.
No.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, yeah, I mean, interesting times. You know, with this ethanol thing is, we're in the middle of some big changes, one way or the other, and. We'll see, right? You know.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, we talked about it on numerous occasions about how irregular it is in the gasoline and why, as a consumer, you need to know what you're putting in and whether or not it'll work in the engine. And let me hop on the previous conversation we had about the ethanol, which is, you know, we understand that your vehicle can run on it, but
Right. Here's
where you run into the problems when it's not, you know. They're not sticking with the plan, if you know, to what they're doing to the gasoline, and I think that causes engine problems.
And that's what they're saying in this article is, you know, look, if the EPA is going to create standards, then they've got to adhere to them.
They need to adhere to it.
Personally, I'm fine with not having a bunch of ethanol in my fuel, but I see where, you know, people are getting bent out of shape about this.
Right, you either go there or you don't. Well, especially the ethanol plants and the growers, man. I mean,
right? Because now they're going to stop. So farmers that have repurposed the crop production with the customer being the ethanol plants are now going to have to figure something out, because if the plant is shut down, they're not buying any more corn, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right. So what you got? You got anything?
Yeah, I do, man. I got a few things. I'll just start out, and this kind of stay on the Debbie Downer kind of things. I ran across this, and I was really glad to see who it was. This is an article that was written by Indy Garage out of Canada. The writer of this is a friend of a colleague of mine in the industry. My colleague is someone who wrote for Engine Builder magazine, so these are reliable sources. But what I found interesting, and again, folks, Keith and I are doing what we do because we want to keep interest in this industry and hopefully be on the edge of bringing you the information that's going on, the changes in the industry, the upcoming things in the industry, things to look out for, that sort of stuff, and keeping it interesting. But this is not something that was new to me, but it's something that's in writing, and I think it should open some eyes. So here we go. Just let me read it real quick to you. And again, this is from Indy Garage. A survey of more than 36,000 independent aftermarket auto shops in the United States says that more than half of owners expect to retire in the next 9 years, and the majority plan to sell their business. But auto shop owners also reported that business is growing and they're hiring. So, you know, that's kind of interesting, man. You know, and, you know, you want to attract a younger generation into this industry to keep those businesses going, to pass that down, you know, from the father or mother down to the son or daughter, to keep the business going. But I think there's a shortage of that going on. There's I think some of the younger generation are going in other directions, like the tech industry, which is something they're very comfortable with, maybe, and it's more more challenging to them or more exciting to them to go into that industry versus working with their hands in a machine shop. I don't know what the answer is.
You know, this there's an interesting component to this as I sort of listened to you lay this out, which is okay. Tesla is growing in popularity, and you mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about this. You've got companies like Ford that are investing in electric tech. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And electech, whatever.
you're getting there, man.
And so Tesla's not alone. You know, GM's doing it. They're all on this plan to have a heavily infused line of EVs over the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
These shops aren't tooled to work on that stuff so much. Now, sure, you can change tires, right? But there's no oil to be changed. There's no spark plugs to be changed. There's no, you know, maybe the transmissions are the same if you're a transmission shop, you know. Maybe.
Well, we'll get into some transmissions a little later,
but
when we're talking Corvette. But
in 5 to 10 years, the customer base is going to be changed for a lot of these shops, right?
They will, yeah, they will be, no doubt about it. But the you know the product is so different these days. You know, I've said this to you, you know, off air, I'm talking about you know one of the reasons that I got out of. You know, that end of the business of physically turning a wrench and performing services on select vehicles was, you know, the cost of ownership of tools, special tools, it can bankrupt a technician, man. I mean, I challenge anybody out there to go out and walk on board a Snap-on tool truck or a Matco tool truck and see what these things cost. It's not cheap to be a technician, and a lot of those tools. And you know, not only the tools though. I mean, the overhead of the shop supplies. You've got all kind of regulations in place where you have hazardous waste that comes from, and you have to pay EPA taxes. You have to have everything in place, like grease traps and stuff in place to collect. You know, there's so many things involved with a service center that I could see how someone at a retirement age, if they don't have anybody to turn it over to, that they're not passionate about really hanging in there, because there's so much hoops to jump through in order to keep the doors open and be in compliance with the EPA. So, yeah, it's something that's going on, and you know the conversation. This is not a conversation that just cropped up yesterday. I mean, this is something that Keith and I have been talking about for years. And this is kind of what has driven us to do what we're doing now with the podcasting and the DIY videos that we do. So
yeah, well, I mean, definitely the more tech they're putting in these cars, collision avoidance, lane assist, all that stuff requires special tools a lot of it requires special tools to service and special training and, you know.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
I mean, we joke right, about Debbie the Downer.
What else?
Yeah, we joke about the 10mm socket and the 1/2-inch socket. You know, those are, you know, but before long, you know, it's going to be different, man. We won't have to be chasing down that 10mm.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you'll have the little robot bring it to you, right? Just
correct, Cosmo. Yeah. There you go. So what do you got? What else you got?
Well, here's one that's not so depressing. Well, it depends. It's funny and it's sad all at the same time. But I think we'll put this one in the humor category. This was about a week ago. This is in Kentucky, so near to me. You know, Jay, a lot of things apparently come out of Kentucky. We know they have Mammoth Cave. They have the Louisville Slugger Bat Factory. Papa John's headquarters,
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
We have the Corvette made in Kentucky, right? Which there is kind of reason enough for me not to buy one.
And probably some of the best bourbon on the planet coming out of Kentucky. Okay. Let's go there.
But this is something completely different, right? Okay, so the news article. This is from actually Baltimore, WMAR. Alleged sighting of Bigfoot leads to shots fired at Kentucky National Park.
Right.
So apparently in Mammoth Cave National Park, a gunshot was fired over the weekend. A couple of campers reported it, and a man apparently saw Bigfoot and decided what everyone in Kentucky decides to do when you see Bigfoot, which is take a couple shots at him, right?
Yeah. Don't bring him in alive. You know, don't treat him like King. This is not King Kong here. We've got to get rid of this guy. You know, we're not, you know, so.
So let's see. So this guy says he was camping with his girlfriend on Sunday, and they were awakened by a man and his son shining flashlights into their tent just after 1 a.m. The man explained that something had destroyed his campsite and that he kept hearing strange sounds, so he was going to investigate because this was, quote, Bigfoot country.
I'm sorry, man.
I don't know how else to say this other than these are the same people that are building Corvettes.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Denominator
down to the low end, maybe?
Least common denominator. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, the park's investigating, and that's a big no-no. And, yeah, you don't... I don't know. I mean, where else do you take this, man? It's...
Well, I mean, maybe the guy was out, you know, looking for mushrooms or something. He ate a few
apparently
by mistake.
Found them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Or he found that, you know, that hidden still somewhere, hidden in Kentucky.
Or that, right?
And he got into some of that hooch that was made from that corn out of Iowa. I don't know. You know, who knows? Maybe there's some bad corn out there. Maybe that's why the you know, they're stepping back the production. I don't know.
All right, so what else you got?
Well, couple of things. I wanted to kind of go back on something that I said months ago. We were talking about trucks and who's driving trucks these days and why are they driving them, you know, because you've got, I see these big mammoth-sized pickup trucks out there that,
you mean like,
you know, they don't have a scratch on them, they don't have a hitch on them, they're... You know,
you mean big mammoth
grocery
trucks
shopping
like,
with these things. So,
like Bigfoot,
I'm not real sure. You know what those people are buying those trucks for, but anyway, you know, I had said that.
Sorry, I cracked.
Look,
up.
Man, So I had said that, you know, I had it just a hard time dealing with the fact that Ford had downsized and they were getting into like 3.5 liters and 2 liters on these pickup trucks. And when I saw this article come out, this was this particular article's from Motor One, and basically it's about what Ford has decided to do. And I'm happy, man, because it makes me feel good about, you know, the true consumer of a truck out there. The 2020 Ford Super Duty they got another option. It's a gasoline V8 pushrod 7.3 liter, which gets up to 430 horsepower, pretty decent torque. So it's a good option outside of the Power Stroke diesels that they have out there. You know, someone that doesn't care for a diesel, they prefer a gasoline. So I think that Ford has answered their consumers' concerns to a degree there with that.
So
wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, well, let's recap this a little bit. So we had reported on this earlier this year. Ford had announced that they were going to cut back on the number of unleaded gasoline engines that they were putting in these trucks, right?
That's right.
Okay. So, and we that was an interesting move, right? I mean, they had quite a few, what was it, 6 or 8 different engines that you could get in these things. So... they pulled several out. So this one is going to take the place of... Where does it fit in that whole strategy?
What, the... This?
Yeah.
This is going to cater to, you know, those truck guys that are... I mean, those guys that are, you know, big camping guys, big hauler guys. This is going to cater to those guys.
So it seems to me... like Ford is putting a certain amount of stock, so to speak, into the actual I don't want to use the word heavy duty, but it's not the truck for truck's sake crowd. These are guys that are using them to get work done, right? And
that's right. That's exactly right.
But they're still going to do a couple of these little teeny engines in the full size half tons.
Oh, sure.
But by sure the way, will, and yeah. you know you can make any engine that Ford puts in, even the little ones. You know how you make it more powerful. You make it faster and be able to tow more.
Well, I know
you
that,
know this trick.
I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting. I'm on the edge of my seat for this because I know there's something here to this.
You just take the muffler off, dude. Just take the muffler off. The louder
that
the
ain't
truck,
illegal.
Right. Well. The louder the truck,
yeah. Well, just
the faster it goes, right? Isn't that the math? It is in the South.
Yeah, absolutely. It works on those little. It works on those little drifter cars too, man. You know, it helps them. You know,
right,
they got the what is it like a 5-inch tailpipe?
Yeah, right.
On a little
right,
drifter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Nice sound effect.
All right, so you have filled our news queue. Anything else that you want to pick out?
No, I've got a lot more that we can say for the next trip. But you know, hey man, it's been an exciting several weeks. You know, us leading up to this Corvette discussion. So I guess.
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's take a little promotional break here in the show.
Right on.
And we
right
will then we'll get into the topic of the day, which is the now Jay has instructed me on the right way to say this. We've been watching the trending on Google over this whole Corvette thing, and Jay has figured it out. And this is what people are searching for. It's the 2020 Corvette C8 Stingray. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Stingray helps it. Trust me. If you just type in Corvette 2020 Corvette C8, you'll find anything and everything that's been written about it out there. So it's been interesting.
All right. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. This podcast, especially this portion of the podcast, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get this out without tripping all over myself, is brought to you by you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you heard me correctly. This podcast is brought to you by you. So what do I mean
Thank
by
you,
that?
You.
You can go right now to our website at partscounterguru.com and click on the Amazon banner in the top right-hand corner of the website. There's an Amazon banner up there, right? Yep, that's it. And anything that you're going to buy on Amazon, if you go to our website and you click through our website to Amazon, we get a little credit for that. And that helps us offset the fees of bandwidth and hosting and production and all that good stuff. So if you are thinking about buying anything on Amazon, and you know you are, probably right now as we speak, please go to our website first and just click on the link. Jay, if I do this and I'm a fan of the show, does it cost me any more to go to Amazon through our website?
Absolutely not.
That's right. It's the same price.
It is a free service. It is a free service to get to Amazon.
Can I tell who bought that pack of belly dancer beads and jewelry for the navel piercing
You'll have
gems.
No idea. No. So just keep on buying whatever you've been buying. We'll have no idea.
It's confident. I can't tell who bought it. I can't tell who you are. None of that. So you're it's anonymous. You're safe there. But if you would please be so kind to go to Amazon, go to our website, partscounterguru.com, click on the Amazon banner and do your Amazon shopping.
That's right.
The other thing we would appreciate a ton is if you would go to our YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button, even if you're listening to this podcast on whatever, there it's everything. Stitcher, yeah. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all of them. Tune in. But please go ahead and subscribe on YouTube as well. That's another big favor to us. It helps us with Google and their criteria for what we can do with certain numbers of subscribers. I'm just going to stop talking now, Jay. Is there anything that
No, you're fine. You're fine. I you know, sometimes the tongue has a way of getting in the way, you know. You know, you can ask my, you know, my wife that. Shut me up occasionally. I have a tendency to stumble over my words. So anyway, but you feel free to do that too, because I think I just stumbled over mine. Anyway.
All right. So we will be right back in just a couple seconds. All right.
Okay. Are you ready to talk some good stuff?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Corvette, this new C8 that came out.
I've been going to car shows, and all the Corvette guys at the car shows tell me that this is the way God intended Corvettes to be, right? With the engine in the front.
It's what they say. Yeah.
All right, so GM announced a new Corvette. It's called the C8 a couple weeks ago. A lot of hype, a lot of speculation around this, a lot of secrecy. And Jay has done a ton of research on... Well, we've both been reading everything we get our hands on. I watched the unveiling with my son, and it was interesting. It got kind of wordy and techy and, you know, a little bit boring at times. But
by the way, I felt like I was in the front row whenever that was going on.
Because I was just
constantly
texting you with, dude, check this out. Yeah, the first thing that I said when I saw it was, in my lifetime, so I was born in the 70s, for those of you that need to qualify this, this is the first new Corvette that I would own. Meaning, of course I would own one of the 60s models or, you know, that classic stuff, of course. But new Corvette that I would go to the dealership and buy, this is the first one that I would consider buying, because there's just been such a stigma with these cars of, you know, they don't corner well, and it's just a bunch. I mean, it's the whole stereotype that I showed up dressed in the Hawaiian shirt with the, you know...
Right.
It's the middle-aged middle-aged divorced guy with the, you know,
Yeah. Well, I think the Corvette, really the stigma, like you said, I mean, that's it. It's an appropriate word. I think what was happening is you know, the ownership was
dying.
It was becoming, it was just kind of blah, you know, anymore. It was, I mean, put it to you this way. With advancements in technology, you can only put so much into, you know, the same way with jets, right? Aircraft. I mean, at some point, man, you know, the technology is going to pass you by, and you've got to make changes. And this was a drastic change.
Well,
for Corvette. Now let me tap into something that you said earlier on when you started talking about this, when you said that this was the first one that you saw that you would buy, and you texted that to me.
Yep.
And I was obviously busy with some visitors in town. We were being tour guides, but I wanted to respond back to you very quickly and say I'm not so sure about this, but I watched the unveiling at a later time, but I was getting tidbits and pieces from you about the technology that was going into it and what they were doing with this thing. And I got to tell you, man, I you know, now I'm sold. Now I'm sold. I would go buy one right now.
So there's a lot of stuff that, like you said, is different. We're going to get into some of this. But basically what GM said, which is what you alluded to, is they're pushing the limits of how far they could take a front engine automobile. It's just not... Look, when you put all the weight in the front of the car, then what they were having to do up until now is use electronics to stabilize that vehicle when it tried to corner hard. When it tried to decelerate quickly, when it tried to accelerate, whatever, right? To control the imbalance of all that weight being in the front. Now that they've moved to a mid-engine automobile, it's basically able to balance itself and turn around that engine. And
you can get a in order for GM to be able to continue to grow the brand and compete with
the Fords. So there you go.
And that's it.
So
it was
when I look at what Ford did with the current version of their GT, when I look at what some of these other manufacturers are doing with the $100,000 to $250,000 performance cars, there are quite a few mid-engine versions, right? I mean, you can get into a McLaren now that's sub 250, and there's some. Okay, so the reason that they're all doing this is track performance. That it needs to be able to corner and handle well on a racetrack. Guys are going and doing track days. And you may say, well, I don't care about that. Well, it's a bigger deal than you think if you're driving this car out on a country road and you need to be able to take the turns said country road presents to you, right?
That's right.
The reason that I'd always sort of just looked away from Corvettes is because it's a straight line car. I mean, regardless of how much tech they slammed under the hood, it's never going to outhandle a 370Z from Nissan, for example, or something that's not as powerful but can beat it around the track every day of the week.
Right. And in today's world of that, the C6, the C5, the C6, the C7, they did as much as they possibly could with those things, okay? And but those, you know, the Vette as it was in a front engine was starting to kind of become more of a looker than a performer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how else to kind of describe that. So, and I think in order to discount
the pipes, man. It made some noise too.
Oh, I mean, beautiful. And don't get me wrong, I don't hate on any of the previous Corvettes at all. I think for me that when they brought the Stingray back and the C7,
I just wouldn't own one. It's fine. If that's your thing, by all means, you know, go drag race it or whatever.
And I've driven one of those. And, you know, you might think that they handled very beautifully, but I can tell you when I got to a certain speed in one of those, I kind of felt like I was fighting it a little bit. I was a little afraid to go into a turn, into a corner.
Was that at 35 miles an hour or 40?
It was about 40. Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Well, you know, when the Hawaiian girl on the you know, on the dash there starts to wiggle, I gotta stop. But so, you know, we've talked about this. You know, with change, you've got to change. You know, with times, and you know, there's a reason why, you know, GM has done what they've done with the Corvette.
So they took a gamble.
Just as a reason why Tesla's here.
Right, and we talked about this. We said, so they're more or less turning their backs on the older crowd, the collector's crowd, the older Corvette enthusiasts. And they're going after a younger generation who, to be honest, are going to be buying a lot more of these things over the next 20 years. And it was a gamble, but it looks like that gamble has really paid off.
It has, and they have not. There's been a lot of reports that it was sold out for this year's production. Yep. That is not true. I've gone out and did my own fact checking on that, and GM has, because there was so much speculation on that and so many news articles about out there that they were sold out of this year's production. It's not true. GM came out and said, albeit we would love for that to be the case, they are extremely excited about how well it is selling, and they are on pace to sell, if they continue at this pace, to sell out for the first production year. That says something.
So let's talk a little bit about why, like I said and you said, I would own one of these. Well,
there's a lot of things, man. I mean, because I can go back and pick out five things that are probably different than your five things. You know what I mean? And one thing that you texted me the day that it came out, you told me what the cost of that was.
Yeah.
The cost of a production Stingray, you know, Vette The standard model that came out was under 60 grand, and I thought to myself, GM, whoever their marketing people are, that marketing team needs a pat on the back and a big bonus.
Now you're
bonus,
not
going
to get a full on track one, package, you know, but you're going to it's going to be a Corvette, it's going to be a base model.
Yeah.
But even for 20,000 more or 25,000 more, okay, you are still getting a car that, let's think about this for a second. What other mid-engine automobile is out there that's a new one, not something that's, you know, 15 years old, that you can get into for less than $150,000 today that you can go put on the track and it will handle? And I'm making an assumption here that this car is going to handle as well as it looks like it will. I mean, I would be shocked if it doesn't, because all the specs say it's going to do it, right? And
yeah,
if they live up to just half of those, it's a big deal. But where else can you go and get a mid-engine automobile that's well balanced and it's going to do well for you through turns for less than $150,000?
You can't.
Right.
You know, and they are now, Corvette, GM has put the Corvette in a whole new league. They are going to be running against some of the elites out there, and it's what they've been trying to do. They've already been doing it with the the C7R, C6Rs.
Right.
They've already been there. But this is a whole different animal. I mean, we have no idea yet until we see it with our own eyes, until we see the facts on how fast these things are going to be and how well they handle. I've seen some of the package information on the C8R that they're speculating coming out. And then, of course, the Z51 package, where, you know, the tires change, the suspension changes, you know, there's a lot of electronically tuned suspensions. And you've got you got a wing on the back that gives like an extra 400 pounds of downforce on it. It's just,
so
it's going to be incredible. I can't wait.
This is what they started out with when they released the first Corvette, which was, it was accessible. It was within reach. Now, look, if you're a school teacher and you're making, you know, 40-50K a year, probably not. But more people are going to have access to a performance car like this than a month ago when, you know, there was no other option in that class, right? So that's and that's what they did when they started. When the first Corvette came out, it was accessible to the blue collar crowd, but you got yourself a nice performance car.
That's right.
And so and GM did what they do well. GM has that whole V8 power thing cornered. Like, that is, they own that. That is their, that power plant that they're using, they have had the research, the R&D, the technology to do that and do it well and to get a lot of horsepower out of it for many years. This engine's a little bit different, but Ford is almost there. They've been playing catch up for a while. They put a 6 in the GT, but they have never in their Mustang been ever to able to compete in horsepower with this thing. So if anybody's going to make a reliable V8 that puts out a ton of power and can do it inexpensively, it's General Motors, and they did it. And they've been doing it, and they just, that's their, I mean, that's their trademark.
That's it. There's no other manufacturer out there right now that has a you know, their flagship vehicle. You know, this performance car, it's their baby.
I mean,
you know, unlike you've got Ford that has the Mustang,
these guys are using truck engines in some of their stuff to get
to get the power. And that's what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you don't have that. Now you've got Dodge, Chrysler Dodge with the Challenger that have the Hellcats. We had a conversation early on. Yeah, they are, man. They're still here. They're still with us. They're among us. They're not quite, what is that, Monty Python? Bring out your dead. Oh no, I'm not quite dead yet. Anyway, you know that. Yeah. Anyway, good try. But you know, they're ripping transmissions and rear ends out of those things because the vehicle can't handle it.
Right. We
had a conversation about that. So you know, one thing we talked about, I mentioned in a video that I shot, which, by the way, folks, if you go to our YouTube channel,
What is it? How do I find it?
It is. You can actually go to our website if you want to. You can go up and you'll see the YouTube icon, or you can click on the podcast links. Click on the YouTube channel, the UConn.
It's not just me today.
See, it's the YouTube icon.
Yeah.
So anyway, you click there, and then you go over to the Parts Counter Gurus, and you see a bunch of videos. But the first thing you want to do is subscribe, because that is how you stay in touch with us and in tune with episodes that are coming out. But I did a little piece on this previously before the Vet was released, and you know, there was a lot of speculation that was going on out there, and I talked about one feature that I said there's not going to be a manual transmission.
Okay.
In the first production that's coming out, and that you may have to wait for all you manual transmission guys
forever.
Well, you just said it. It's forever, because what they've done is they put a dual clutch transmission in this thing, which outperforms any manual transmission out there. For those of you that are not familiar with a dual clutch transmission, basically it's the best of both worlds, and you can paddle shift with it.
It shifts faster in layman's
terms. It shifts a lot faster. It does this through, you know, a series of synchronizers that keeps the power there all the time. Whereas if when you're shifting at a manual transmission, you're going to get a little lag because it doesn't have power to the rear wheels. So this keeps it there all the time. This is why they went where they went. And then plus there was other information about the way it's designed, the tunnel underneath to throw manual rods, and it adds more weight. It affects its aerodynamics underneath, its ability to you know, the downforce on the ground. So GM is not going there, guys. So if you're a manual transmission lover,
so
I don't know that you'll ever see
it's
that.
Fun. Manuals are fun to drive. I get that. But remember, this car is a performance car. It is designed to win. You want to go out and have a track day and smoke your friends around the Nürburgring or whatever. This car, this is what this car is made to do. So, and by smoke your friends, I don't mean actually smoking people. I mean, you know, you leave them in the dust. Just to clarify that.
Willie Nelson can't.
Well, you know, if you want to bring Willie in, I don't know, that's a good idea, man, around the Nürburgring.
Well, he wants to be smoked when he dies. But, he wants to be rolled up and smoked when he dies, man.
But
so
they did not mince words. During the press conference or their unveiling show or whatever you want to call that thing, they came out and said they declared the stick dead. They said, we're done with it. We're not going back.
Yep.
And this is another, it's all for performance, right? If you want to drive a manual transmission because they're fun to drive, that's fine. They're just not going to sell you one in a Corvette.
That's right.
So, and they did a lot of just really forward-thinking things like that. Okay, so some of the models that you had mentioned this or just a little bit ago are capable of raising and lowering the body. So in other words, so if you're driving over a rougher terrain, it'll raise the body up so you don't drag. But if you're on the track, it'll drop the body down to be closer to the ground, so you get that suction. Okay, so they put some tech in here that do you know about this? So if
I
GPS
blew me
is
away.
Tied I'm... to the lift control, and like let's say you're at the grocery store parking lot and you go over some speed humps, it will tag those speed hump locations and ask you if you want to remember for next time, and it'll automatically raise the car up so you don't so you don't have to do it manually.
That's exactly
awesome.
Right. Isn't that crazy? I know, man. I saw a video on that working too. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. It's some great technology. And there, you know, some other technology they put in, like teen driver mode and stuff, where you can, with the key fob, you know, a lot of neat stuff. The inside of this thing, man, if I'm not a fighter jet pilot, man, I want to be one now, man. I mean, that thing, it looks like you're sitting in a cockpit of a fighter jet. It really does.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a mid-engine. That's what you get with a mid-engine automobile.
That's it.
So horsepower looks like it's going to be somewhere on the high end, 600 to 800 range. which is crazy
for production. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
The they went kind of nuts with, and this is GM, and this is one of the things that it's just GM gonna GM. I mean, they just can't help themselves. They've got a ton more options on interior colors and if
exterior.
I mean, if you want to have a good laugh sometime, just go to GM's website and build a car, like any car. It doesn't have to be a Corvette. And it is insane the amount of option variations, like just the truck line. Like, I helped a friend look for a half-ton Silverado a few years back, and I mean, it's just, I got lost, and it's ridiculous the amount of options, and they need to kind of scale that back a little bit, but that's just their thing. So they're extending that to the Corvette. So they've got all these different seat color options and trim package options. Yeah. And
it is also, if I'm not mistaken, the first production Corvette that comes stock with all-season tires.
I did not know that. Well, why does that matter? Yep. Why would I care? Daily driver? Want to be able to drive in bad weather?
Yeah. Maybe.
Why would you want to drive a Corvette in bad weather?
Price, handling, smooth ride, quiet. You know? I think it's the design of the vehicle that allows them to do that. You know? I think that probably allows them, gives them a lot better options in regards to their handling packages. I can see that
being a bigger deal on the lower priced packages, right? Like,
that's what I'm talking about. The entry level. Their performance packages are not going to have that.
You could buy that car potentially as a daily driver.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, that's basically what you could do with the way it's priced.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy a Z51 and, you know, have it as my daily driver.
No.
That's not.
No, but if you were to buy the standard production Vette today, it would not. I will be very interested in how many you see on the road there, because your proximity to
I'm an hour away from the factory.
Right. I'm going to be interested in hearing some comments from you. I have yet to see one on the highway here. Which, since this thing has been released, I made a comment in a previous podcast that I thought I may have seen one that had British Columbia plates on it, but after looking at the reveal, it definitely was not. I believe it was a C7. It was just a high end package that looked had, you know, maybe a Z06 or something like that. I don't know. But speaking of that, you know, we talked about manual transmissions.
Yep.
And we spoke about this on a previous podcast. You had asked me the question. I have the answer to the actual answer to that now. The last ever C7 Corvette to sell.
I got it right here.
It was sold. Yeah, it was sold
off.
Right. Sold off of the Barrett Jackson's Northeast auction at Mohegan Sun Casino for $2.7 million.
Wow.
Is what it went for. It was a manual transmission Z06. It was black in color. But here's what I thought was great about this: all of the proceeds will go to the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. It is a charity founded to honor the memory of Stephen Siller, who was a firefighter who lost his life on 9/11. The foundation focuses on helping injured military veterans and first responders through building homes and paying off mortgages. What a great way to give the C-Segan legacy the importance that it deserves, to be able to draw $2.7 million in an auction and for all of those proceeds to be donated to those guys. So, thank you. The guy who bought it, which you'll find very interesting.
Tell me you're looking at a picture of him in a Hawaiian shirt.
No. According to Corvette Blogger, the car was sold to a gentleman by the name of Daniel Snyder. He's the same person who reportedly purchased the last ever Dodge Viper in 2018.
Oh, that's a collector. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So... and let's don't forget the Viper.
Yeah.
Hey, man. You know, many moons ago, back in the 90s, you know, they were looking at making that one a mid-engine, but it never happened.
Well,
so
They took bailout. Chrysler took bailout money, and then the government kind of forced their direction a little bit. They took control of the rudder and told them where to steer, and they did not allow them to look in the direction of any high performance cars.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Was the for speaking of, you know, the Viper, didn't Lee Iacocca have a hand in the development of that vehicle?
I don't know. So the story that I've always heard was it was kind of a Skunk Works project, that these guys were in kind of a barn with a bunch of leftover parts and wanted to see what they could build out of it.
Right. Well, that's where the Prowler came in. Yeah. Man, I think, you know, which is the Prowler's a cool
car. Saw one the other
man,
day.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, they're neat cars.
All right.
As well,
so there's one other thing that I want to point to on this, and again, we're going on what at this point GM is telling us, but they are saying that now this is going to have to be on one of the higher end packages. There's no way you're going to get this on a $60,000 Corvette, but they're saying sub 3 second 0 to 60, so 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds out of this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's just, how much money do you have to spend to get sub 3 second 0 to 60 outside of this Corvette?
Oh, you're going up there into the 150 to 200,000.
I don't think the Mustang can do it. I don't think. I mean, okay, no. Stock. I'm not talking about a saline conversion or, you know, whatever.
We're talking off the production line.
Right.
We're talking off the production line where you ordered the car and you went to Bowling Green and you picked it up.
Right.
That's right.
Is there anybody else out there that can get you? And I don't know the answer to this, but I'm almost posing this question. Is there anybody else out there that can get you a sub 3 second 0 to 60 automobile for less than $100,000 brand new without some sort of taking it to a guy to modify it situation? Like just factory.
Right. I don't know that answer, but I'm going to go with my gut on this and say I don't believe it.
I don't think so either.
I mean,
you know, that's, I just and can't even see if there is, happening. It's not very many. It's very few.
Right.
So now I'm not talking electric. Okay, I guess I need to qualify that. Now you can get that. I think you can get that out of a Tesla, some of their higher end models. It's close.
Yeah,
it's pretty
fast, man. It's pretty fast.
So there may be your exception, but this is a completely different. This is okay. So again, you're talking about a performance car that's designed to be used on the track versus an electric vehicle, which is a sedan, which is a family car. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 0 to 60 is only one criteria. When you start talking about handling and performance and all that other stuff, now they're two different, completely different classes of vehicles. So yes, you can, you can get 0 to 60 out of an EV. Great. But not in a performance car, right? For
that's
less
right.
than 100,000, right? So that's another thing that they've got now. That's just one more feather in their cap of wow for this product.
Yeah, it is so unorthodox, you know, what they've done, you know, as the normal trends, how we see things, you know, one model year or one generation replacing another. So yeah, I mean, that's, again, I go back to the marketing side of this. They really wanted to try to give America, or the world. I mean, being an American, I mean, this is.
Oh, it's made, you know, in Kentucky. It's American.
It's American, no doubt about it, man. But you know, the price points on these things for what they are just blows my mind.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, we're talking a car. We're talking a production car that, with the right performance package on it, can be held in the same conversation as, say, Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's where they're going. That's where they went. They knew that they had to make a dramatic change in order to compete and be part of that conversation. This is why they did what they did.
I would... So. And I loves me some good Ferraris.
Oh,
I would put this 2020 Corvette C8 up against, I hope somebody does this. If we had the budget to do it, we'd do it. I want to see it. Some of those lower end Ferraris, I think it'll eat their lunch.
I don't think we'll have to worry about doing it. I believe that there's a point. There is a point to be proven here. And I think GM, I've been finding little snippets of where they've been out conducting these tests already.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and they're not revealing a ton of information in that regard, but it's going to come out. Just wait till once all the orders are in and production begins and they really start delivering these things, I think the first one will be delivered in sometime in the end of August or 1st of September is the first delivery, I think, is what I understand. You know, man, I don't know. I to some degree, I'm a little speechless about it because I was the one back here. I was the old guy, you know, in his 50s back here going, oh, damn, man, it'll never work. That's awful. You should never do that. And then when they came out with it, I'm just blown away by it.
I said to my wife, and I was serious, and I think I'd consider, you know, maybe getting one of these as my next, you know, fun car. And I said,
What'd she say? Where are you going to put me?
Right. But I said, so do you think there's still a stigma? You know, in other words, am I going to look like I'm trying too hard if I drive this thing into the neighborhood? And she said, yeah. She goes, it's still there for now. But my suspicion is, and we will see in a very short amount of time, I bet you that stigma fades away. Because this is I just got a divorce. This is my divorce settlement money. I'm out clubbing. You know, here's my Hawaiian shirt with the gold chain. No. This is... none of those guys. There are very few of those guys going to be buying this car. They're all mad. They feel betrayed.
Well, sure they do because now the eliteness of that club, has just kind of come back down.
Now
to
you
earth
got
a
bunch of young whippersnappers that are, you know, wet behind the ears, going getting some of these and going out and
Gee whiz, hey Keith, what do you think? Maybe that was planned?
right. So I really do think that
who's buying
that
these things?
That stigma's going to fade away quickly. And all it's going to take is, you know, a couple high-profile celebrities, athletes, whatever, driving these things around, and all of a sudden, it's an it car.
Look, that, you know, I kind of liken it to what started happening in the late 90s and early 2000s with the Japanese, the Asian cars, where they started, especially the Hondas, where they started, you know, juicing these things up and you know, the industry saw that the demographic was changing in regards to performance-type vehicles, and they're spending a lot of money on this stuff. That was what they're like. Oh, because I know I was part of it because I helped develop a line of what we call sport compact performance valve train for your Hondas and your Nissans and your Toyotas, and then all the automakers really kind of got wise to it and started providing you a base option with those things already built into the car. So that's how far we've come from that, where it was a. You know, you could still go rebuild a muscle car today. You'll always have that. I think there will always be room for the nostalgic muscle car. Those guys building those things, having those shops, just as there will be the sport compact, just because it's fun to do. But this car, this particular Corvette, is a testament to all of those things that have happened previously, and GM paying attention to. What is going on, the trends in the industry right now. They hit it out of the park here, man. I can't say it enough. They hit it out of the park here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I had such low expectations. And I honestly thought, you know, I kind of tuned into this reveal program to make fun of them. I was just like, I couldn't wait to sort of, well, here we go again. You know, we're stirring up a bunch of old guys on the next generation of the same old, same old. No, it was not that at all. At all.
Right.
So this is if you're a General Motors fan, you should see this as a very promising change for them in terms of their direction, and they have not lost sight of where they are going, and they've got a plan, and it looks to be a pretty good plan, and it looks like they're gonna be selling a bunch of cars. I don't think you have to worry about that. So
Do you think, Keith, just based on, you know, your, you know, over the years kind of watching, you know, the trends, do you think it'll be really kind of a quick change? So in other words, you know, we went from a C6 to a C7, you know, fairly quickly, and the C7 only lasted, what, 5 years?
It felt short, yeah.
Felt short. Will that happen with the Corvette now, where they'll go from a C8 to a C9 very quickly, and then a C10? And
my,
you know,
okay, so it's possible, and I think the driving force behind that would be electric motors. If yes. they figure out a way to incorporate, so the NSX did this just recently when mm-hmm. they redesigned the NSX. It's a hybrid in the sense that it uses electric motors and a gasoline engine.
Which, by the way, in its own right, man, is an awesome car.
It's a track star. It's not a 0-60 car, but it's a track star, right?
No.
So
if they
figure out a way to do that, and that's something that GM is lagging behind in right now, is their electric
right.
motor platform. Okay, they're nowhere
Correct.
Near where
yeah.
Ford or Tesla are, but if they figure that mm-hmm. out, and they can do it in a car like this that can have a range of more than 100 miles, and that's another problem that GM has with their electrics right now, is they don't have range. Then yes,
right.
I can see in a 4 or 5 year period them flipping to the next generation of this car, because that's going to give it the next edge, the next level up, right?
I believe that to be the case, and that's a win-win situation on a lot of levels, because you're not only, you know, you're satisfying a different audience, a different group of people by doing
yep.
that, while not losing that what it is. I mean, it's a sports car. It's supposed to be a fast car, and you mentioned it, you know, that about Tesla, how fast it is, 0-60. That technology is there.
It's asking to be incorporated into a performance car.
Absolutely. And it is the way of the future, I think, folks. You know, you go look at a movie like Tron, you know, and some of the Blade Runner movies, stuff like that, where, you know, it's just full of electric vehicles, no sound. You know, it's just that's where we're going. I mean, the future is now. It's here. It's on us. And stuff that we saw, you know, in movies way back when are on the road every day now. So,
and you know what? The coolest,
I thought,
probably the coolest to me factor of this whole change in direction for General Motors and mm-hmm. This might surprise you. So. The auto industry has typically been a man's game, right? Like, you were talking about Lee Iacocca earlier, and, you know,
sure.
the icons in the auto industry, most, if not all of them, were dudes, right?
Right.
I'm going to say her name wrong. I think it's Mary Barra or Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, right? All of this is happening under her watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's playing with the big boys, and this is awesome. Like, I love watching this, because this is, I mean, it's a big risk, right? It was hers to win or lose, but
right.
she's in the sandbox with the big boys, and this is the kind
of
stuff they're cranking out under her supervision.
And she's come through.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal. I think it's very interesting where GM is at with this right now, and it does so much. We're talking about a jolt of confidence,
yeah.
For that company, for the employees of GM right now.
To the people that were worried about, you know, there, because I know there are still people out there in the world that think, well, you know, a woman could never do the job as well, and you know, I don't think we're past that. I think there are still people with that mindset. Here's your proof, man.
Unfortunately, there's people out there that do think that.
She knows what she's doing, and she has got her eye on the ball. And if this is the kind of stuff that she's going to crank out, you guys that are GM fans need to just be over the moon.
Well, exactly, and get this, you know, and GM is well represented by a lot of women, you know, talk again a little bit for those of you that may have missed our NASCAR episode where you were at the Coca-Cola 600. You met a young lady and asked her some really valid questions about the Corvette if it's coming out. And
You were not blown away
by how much she knew. But you were just excited as hell about the fact that you were having a conversation with somebody that knows what's going on here.
So all these race events, whether it's, you know, I go to, you know, Moto America superbike races, motorcycle races, you know, whether it's a four-wheel cart vehicle race, you know, whatever it is, they always hire usually models to come in and dress in scantily clad attire. Nikki Hayden used to call them umbrella dollies. They would hold the umbrellas at the start of the race, you know, and but they're basically bringing these women in as eye candy, right, for the race events,
right?
And so GM had at the Charlotte Coca-Cola 600, they had it was more than a booth. They had a whole area that was theirs, and they were presenting. Mm-hmm. They had the new Camaro and the new off-road Z71 Silverado 1500, and they had a bunch of stuff. And so, you know, you walk up and you talk to some of these reps, and there was a lady that was there, and you don't know what you're going to get, because sometimes you get, you know, model that was just hired to be there for the weekend and doesn't really know anything about cars, and that's not her thing, and she's just there to look pretty, right? And so I think I had just asked a couple questions, and I think I was even just having a conversation with the guys I was with, and she chimed in and said, oh, no, it's this and it's that, and wait till you see the new mid-engine Corvette, you know. And then, well, now the bait is set, right? Like, now you've got my attention. So now I'm just going to start asking more questions. And she was like, just whatever, man, bring it on. I'm here to answer questions. I've worked for GM for, I don't know what she said, like 15, 20 years. She knew her stuff.
I think that you, by talking to her, and it was okay, because I think she said that, yeah, it's going to be released. Yeah. You were the first person that I had heard that it was actually going to be happening.
Yeah.
Because you got it right from her, and she said, it's coming. Yeah. You know, so I think
she even said, like, next month.
Next month, yeah. And then all of a sudden we start looking, so sure enough, July 18th or whatever it was, and it happened, so... What a big deal, man! It's probably one of the biggest deals to happen in the auto industry for a long, long time,
especially for the American-made consumer car market. I'm not talking about like an Aston Martin or, you know, your like Jaguar F-Type or whatever. I mean, those are great cars, but that's a third car. Right. This could be a third car, but this could also be a daily driver, and it's American made, and it will compete with all those other names that I just threw out there. So, you're absolutely right. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal from not only just the United States, but I mean, they're going to tap into the European market with this thing, dude. America. It's great. It's great.
So
they're going to tap into the European market with this thing. And I haven't talked to him. I had him on, we were doing a Google Duo. My oldest son was over in Europe, and he was at his grandmother's and grandfather's. They live south of Somerset in England, southwest coast, south of Wales there. It's my ex-wife's parents. But he loves the old Corvettes. Big fan of the Corvette, but he worked for, at one time, he was part of the McLaren racing team. So I'll talk to him to get his opinion on how does the UK feel about this? How, you know, what are your buddies talking about? And, you know, how does that change your mind about the Corvette? Because it was his goal to buy a Corvette in the US in boxes and ship it back to England and just put this thing together and drive it all over the countryside. But he never did get around to it. But that was something that it was a goal of his. We never got to it. So that'll be interesting. I'll follow up with Melvin and see what he says and see if I can get it a, an, an old Englishman's take on that.
Put him on video chat, and you can.
I bet we could. Put it on the show. He would love to. As a matter of fact, he's checked out our podcast, and so all the way over there in the UK, checked us out on YouTube and liked it a lot. Gave us a thumbs up, and he's subscribed.
Speaking of thumbs up and subscribing, before we kind of wrap it up here, do you want to tell everybody where to find us, how to find us, what to do, where to go?
Man, the way I've been stumbling around stuff today, I don't know if I can. I'll give it a shot.
Better
though.
You than me, as I always say.
Well, you know, guys, look, we do this because we love it. But we need your support. We need you to head on over to YouTube. You can get to YouTube by going to partscountofguru.com. When you get to the home page there, you'll see the icon, the YouTube icon up at the upper right hand corner. However, you can also access it by going to our podcast links, and you'll find every platform, audio and video platform that we could cram in there, including YouTube. YouTube is the one we really want you to subscribe. We want you to subscribe to all of them, and they're all free. But we do want you to really subscribe to YouTube, because that's where our lifeline is. The more subscriptions we get, the more people watching we get, the more we're able to bring you. So please get over there and subscribe. You can check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/partscounterGurus. You can check us out on Instagram. It's Instagram.com, and it's at the Parts Counter Gurus.
There I contributed.
it's great, man. But you can also become a fan. We have a tab there to become a fan. Why don't you speak a little bit about that? How does that
work,
Keith?
So you go to our website, partscounterguru.com, and there's a become a fan link. What that's going to do, you go just basically put your name and email address in, and what that's going to do is it's going to allow us to notify you when we have special events, like live podcast, if we're going to be in an area at a trade show, if we're going to do any kind of promotional stuff, if we're going to do any kind of drawing. So we promise not to abuse that. I'm not going to, you know, send you an email every 30 seconds about, you know, prescription medication or whatever. It's just a way for us to respectfully communicate with our fans if there's something going on. It will be very infrequent. We will keep it to things that are important and not, hey, everybody, Jay's tire pressure in his left his front driver tire was 2 pounds low, so here's a video of us putting air. No. We're not going to. It's going to be relevant, significant happenings and events and that sort of stuff. And that's on our website, partscounterguru.com, under the Become a Fan tab.
That's perfect. Perfect, yeah. Man. That's awesome, man. You can see your tongue is not so
sometimes
twisted. No, not so tied. Not so tied. You're okay. You made it through it, man. Good job. So you want to take us out?
Yeah,
on
sure. Okay. Yeah. So
where's Cosmo at, man?
He's recharging.
Is he recharging?
He ran out of range.
So is it voice activated?
It'll do facial recognition. I don't think you can voice control him, but there's all these add-on, it's an experimental modification robot. You can do all kinds of cool crap with him. I don't know.
Cool.
It's not mine.
And again, I'm going to go back to this. For those of you that don't know Keith like I do, I am not surprised that he has some little mini robot running around.
You know, I just play with it from time to time.
Oh, you mean Mini-Me?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you for subscribing to the folks that have and our current fan base. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Until next time, that is Jay over there. I am Keith. I will leave you this one to ponder. If you happen to buy one of these cars that'll do faster than the speed of light, will your headlights work?
Ooh, good
Think
question,
about that,
man.
Until next time, thanks for watching, everybody.
Thanks, guys. you know, that sometimes the tongue has a way of getting in the way, you know. You know, you can ask my, my wife that.